السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله. This is the 40th session of Sirah Nabawi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is the fourth part of Isra wal Mi'raj, the journey, the famous journey and the miraculous journey of Isra wal Mi'raj from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdis, and then from Baytul Maqdis to the seventh heavens, and actually above the seventh heavens. So alhamdulillah, we've been talking about, we finished with the Isra part. We talked about the Prophet leading the Anbiya in prayer. And then we talked about the beginnings of the journey when the Prophet ﷺ is going, some of the things he saw. So there was different punishments. If you guys remember, for example, there's one of them, someone who's groups of people where their lips and their tongues are being cut with scissors. And the Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel ﷺ, who are these people? And the Jibreel ﷺ responded by saying, these are the people who call others towards good, but they don't do it themselves. They don't even try to do it themselves. So basically, munafiqeen. So Allah protect us all. And there's different groups. You know, for example, the guy who is getting his head smashed with a rock, and then as the boulder is, he goes after the boulder to get it and retrieve it. That person's head becomes normal again, and he's smashed again. And that was a person whose prayer, he missed his prayers, meaning he wouldn't pray on time, or he would miss it altogether. So different things, and we talked about how the heavens, comparison of one heaven to another. So there's seven heavens, okay? And this heaven, this galaxy, and this universe that we know, this is the lowest of the heavens. Sama'ud dunya, okay? So there's seven heavens, and I talked about how Alama Alusi, rahimahullah, in Ruh al-Ma'ani, one of the books of Tafsir, where he mentions the comparison between the first heaven to the second, second to the third, and so on and so forth, is like what? What was that? You guys remember? Like a ring in a desert. Barakallahu feek. Okay? So he gives that comparison, and he further explains, basically, if you have like an egg, you know, the oval type shape of an egg, and imagine like a ring in a desert inside of that. That's the first heaven compared to the second. And then the second, or the third compared to the second, is another oval, like an egg, okay, and then another egg, and then it keeps on expanding out, okay. So those are how the seven heavens are upon each other. So we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ is going up. He uses the mi'raj. Mi'raj was ala wizni mif'al, and what is the wazn of mif'al in Arabic? That's what is that used for? Ism ala. Ism ala is what? What is that? So ala is like a tool, okay? So I gave you some examples. You guys remember what examples did I give you of other words on the same wazn that sound the same as, their structure the same as mif'al or mi'raj? Miftah, okay? Which means what? A key. So it's a tool to fatah. It's a tool to open something. It's miftah. And also what else? Misbah, which is a what? Like a lantern. So it's a tool to do sabah, to light up, okay? So a lantern is used to light up, okay? So you have that. How about mizan? Mizan, what do you think that means? To a scale. Barakallahu feek, is to weigh. So wazan is to weigh something. So mizan, something you use to, basically to weigh something, a scale, okay? So that was mi'raj. The root of mi'raj is uruj, which means to go up, to basically ascend. So we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ was ascending using the mi'raj, and he says, the Prophet ﷺ himself, he says that when he got to the gates of the first heaven, the angel Jibreel ﷺ knocks on the gates of heaven. And I want to emphasize one thing. Now, people get this confused, that what does that mean, seven heavens? Is that Jannah? There's a difference between what I'm talking about, samawat, the heavens, and then Jannah. Jannah is gardens or paradise. That's a separate thing. So Jannah is one, there's only one Jannah, Okay, and that seven, it has seven levels. Okay, and within those seven levels, there's multiple, like, you know, I don't know how many billions and trillions of levels in between. But those are, that's, and then you have the highest part of Jannah, which is Jannat al-Firdaus. Okay, Firdaus al-A'la, where the Prophet himself will reside and the people who will be with him. So that's Jannah itself, that's paradise. And then Samawat, this is different, this is the heavens, okay? The skies, that's another way to say it. The skies or the heavens, okay? So there's a difference between, don't confuse the two. So Jibreel alayhi salam knocks on the doors, the angel says that who's there? And he says, this is Jibreel. He says, Hal ma'aka ahad? Is there anybody with you? He says, yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, has he been sent for? Was he summoned? And Jibreel alayhi salam will say, yes, he was sent for. So then he will open the door and then they will ascend. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant different prophets in the different heavens. In the first heaven, when he enters into the first heaven, the Prophet also mentions falamma futiha uluwana as-sama. So above us, when the sky was opened, and basically we entered through the gates into the first heaven. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ قَائِدٌ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ أَسْوِدَةٌ وَعَلَى يَسَارِ أَسْوِدَةٌ. So there was a man who was sitting, and on his right side he saw a black mass. Okay, so basically it was a bunch of people, and because they're all together, it looks like a black mass. So people on his right, and then on his left, also another group of people, a large group of people. إِذَا نَذَرَ قِبَلَ يَمِينِ. So when he looks towards his right, he would laugh, dahik, he would start to laugh. But when he looks towards his left, he starts to cry. So he notices the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, marhaba bin Nabi Saleh, that welcome to the pious prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal ibn Saleh, and the pious and righteous son. Remember, Adam alayhi salam is our father, he's the father of all of mankind. So he says to him, welcome, basically. At this point, Rasulullah sallam, he says salam to him, and he says, wa alaykum salam. And then he says, Jibreel alayhi salam is asked, man hadha? The Prophet sallam did not recognize Adam alayhi salam. So Rasulullah alayhi salam asked him, who is this? Who is this person? And Jibreel alayhi salam says that this is Adam alayhi salam. And this group or this mass of people you see on his right and on his left, the people on the right are the people from Bani Adam, meaning from humans, who will go to Jannah. And the people on the left are the people from Bani Adam, humans, who will go to the fire. So Adam alayhi salam, when he looks toward the people who are going to Jannah, he is happy and he starts to laugh. When he looks to the people of hellfire, he starts to cry because of their fate and what's going to happen to them. Then the Prophet says, we go ascend further to the second heaven. Again, the angel knocks on the gates and then asks the same question, has he been sent for? Yes, they open the door. The Prophet goes through with Jibreel alayhi salam, and he meets Isa alayhi salatu salam and Yahya alayhi salatu salam. And they say, marhaban bin Nabi as-Salih wal akh as-Salih, that welcome to the pious and righteous prophet and our righteous and pious brother. So they say this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, okay, first of all, before we go to that, so Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, what was their quraba? What was their relationship? How are they related? Anybody know? Is the son of Zakariya alayhi salam, good. Okay, and then, so Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, both father and son, were prophets, and both of them were martyred. Both of them were shaheed, killed by Bani Israel, Bani Israel and the Romans, basically. Isa alayhi salam, so actually there's two opinions. The mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is Maryam alayhi salam, right? And the mother of Yahya alayhi salam her name was Elizabeth, okay? Elizabeth, which is the wife of Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. And the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, going another level up, is Hannah, okay? Or Hannah, I think there's different ways of saying it. So Hannah, that's the mother of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Maryam alayhi salam, they say there's two opinions. One is that she was the sister of Elizabeth, meaning she was the sister-in-law of Zakaria alayhi salam, making Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam first cousins. That's one opinion. And the other opinion is that Maryam alayhi salam's mother, Hanna, was the sister of Elizabeth. So basically, it's kind of like a second cousin kind of thing. So anyway, so Isa alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam, they both came at the same time. They actually worked together. They gave da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. And Rasulullah, he says that I met them in the second heaven. And one of the things about the Prophet, he in a hadith related by Abu Hurairah, he says that Rasulullah, فَنَعَتَهُ النَّبِيَ, meaning the Prophet described the appearance or how Isa alayhi salam looked. And he says, فَإِذَا, so basically he was a man who was ahmar. He was not like white skinned, but he was reddish in skin. Okay, and كَأَنَّمَ خَرْجَ مِنْ دِيمَاسِ, as if he had just exited from a sauna. Okay, like a sauna, you know, when you go in a sauna, you're sweating, your hair is all like, it looks like it's all oily, it's like that. So as if he just came out of a sauna. Now, after that, the third heaven is opened. The Prophet and Jibreel ascend to the third heaven, and they meet Yusuf in the third heaven. And then he says again that, welcome the pious prophet and my pious brother. And Rasulullah describes Yusuf that he was given half of all of beauty. So the creation, all of the creation, was given half of 50% of beauty, and the other half was given to one man, that is Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. So the Prophet ﷺ, then he continues on to the fourth heaven, and he meets Idris alayhi salatu salam. And Idris alayhi salam, again, he says the same things to him. And Idris alayhi salam, one thing particular about him is there's a hadith that when he was about to pass away, he wanted more time to live. Not to enjoy this world or that he was in love with this world or anything like that. But he wanted more time to live so he can give more da'wah to Allah. He can do more righteous deeds. So he asked one of the angels, he says, you know, can I go and I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I can live long for a longer life. At that point, this angel said, okay, get on my wing. And they're ascending, first heaven, second, third, fourth. They get to the fourth heaven. And at this point, the angel of death, Malik al-Maut, meets that angel, and they say salam to each other, and then they start talking, and then he says, well, where are you going? He says, oh, I'm going down. He says, well, who's with you? He said, Idris alayhi salam. And he says, you know, this is a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Remember, everything's written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, Idris, I'm actually going to take his life right now. And it's written, so, like Malik al-Maut, just imagine if he has like some kind of a sheet or something which gives him the commands where to go, where to take people's lives. And he says that, I'm just looking at this and I was wondering, it says take his life in the fourth heaven, take his soul in the fourth heaven. So I was wondering, how is that going to happen? And look at him, he's right here. So that's one of the things that's related by about Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. So that tells us that angel of death actually, wherever we are, وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا, even if you're in the strongest of forts, okay, and the strongest of buildings, and you lock yourself with 20 million doors and alarms and whatever, the angel of death is going to come to you, wherever you are. You can't hide from death. And it's going to happen wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it to happen. So then the Prophet goes on to the fifth heaven. Same thing, they welcome him. And the Prophet meets Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Harun alayhi salam, who is he? Brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So they were prophets, and they were Musa alayhi salam was a messenger and a prophet, and Harun alayhi salam was a prophet. So they worked together. One of the things about Harun alayhi salam is that the ulama say that never has any brother helped out their brother more than Musa alayhi salam helped his brother. Anybody can guess how is that? What happened? What's special? What did Musa alayhi salam do for Harun alayhi salam? Barakallahu feek. So that dua, when he said Rabbi Sharahli Sadri, when he made that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Taha, when he made that dua, he says, and make Harun alayhi salam with me, meaning put him with me in this effort of da'wah and going to Fir'aun and, you know, becoming a prophet. So he, because of his dua, Harun alayhi salam became a prophet. Next, The Prophet ﷺ goes on to the sixth heaven, and that's where he meets Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, they meet, the Prophet ﷺ says salam to him. He says that, the Prophet ﷺ describing Fana'atu and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that he's a man, he said that he was as if he's ka'annahu min rijal shanu'a, he's from the people of Shanu'a. Shanu'a was a people, or a tribe of people, and they were basically dark in complexion, dark skinned. So he says as if he was from one of those people. Okay, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he basically, they have a conversation, and after that, when the Prophet ﷺ is about to leave, Musa alayhi salam starts to cry. He starts to weep. So the Prophet ﷺ is wondering, you know, what's going on? Why is he crying? And the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, he said, and this is in Sahihain, in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, he says that قَالَ هَذَا مُوسَى مِنْ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ, said, this is Musa alayhi salam, فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. So he says, go and say salam to him. The Prophet says, فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَرَدْ. He said that I went and said salam to Musa alayhi salam. Then he responded to my salam. ثُمَّ قَالَ مَرْحَبًا بِأَخِي الصَّالِحِ وَالنَّبِي الصَّالِحِ. And then he says, فَلَمَّا تَجَاوَزْتُ بَكَى. He says that when I started to move on, Musa alayhi salam starts to cry. قِيلَ لَهُ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. So it was said to him, either Jibreel alayhi salam asked him or the Prophet alayhi salam asked him, someone asked him, what's making you cry? What's making you weep? And Musa alayhi salam says, أَبْكِي لِأَنَّ غُلَامًا بُعِثَ بَعْدِي يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَكْثَرَ مِمَّنْ يَدْخُلُهَا مِنْ أُمَّتِي. That Musa alayhi salam, he says that I'm crying because this young ghulam, this young man, remember the people of the past, they would live for long lives. So Musa alayhi salam was, you know, I don't know how old, but he was old when he passed away. He says this ghulam, Rasulullah alayhi salam was about 52 years old at that time. He says that this young man, he was sent after me, and his ummah is basically larger than me. His ummah will enter into Jannah in larger numbers than my ummah. So I came before him, thousands maybe of years before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but his ummah is going to be larger in number than my ummah. So this, one of the things that the ulama talk about this is the beauty of healthy competition between the Muslims, which is musabaqa fil khairat, meaning racing each other and competing with each other in good deeds. So we see here that Musa alayhi salam, he's not jealous of Rasulullah, he's not anything like that, but he's just saying that this man came after me and he has a larger ummah than I have. So this is the beauty of musabaqa fil khairat, meaning competing with each other. And you know this famous story of Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu and Umar radhiyallahu anhu in Ghazwa Tabuk, when they were collecting the sadaqah and getting ready for the preparations for the battle. Umar radhiyallahu anhu said that this day is the day when I beat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. So he says that I took half of my wealth. Okay, and that's not something easy to do. You look at your bank, whatever your bank account is, 50% of whatever he had, he said, I brought it forth, and I said that this day I'm going to beat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. I'm going to go ahead of him. So he says, he comes and gives it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what did you bring? He says, I have brought 50% of my wealth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu comes after, and Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu comes and sits with the Prophet, and he gives whatever he has. And Rasulullah says that what did you leave behind? And Abu Bakr says, I have left the name of Allah and His Messenger, meaning nothing but the kalima. That's all that I left at home. I brought everything that I had. Umar at that point, he says that I knew from that day I will never be able to beat Abu Bakr Siddiq ever in anything. So this is healthy competition that Musa alayhi salam is showing there. One thing we understand is the evil of hasad. Okay, one thing is hasad, and then there's ghibta. Okay, hasad is evil jealousy or envy. Okay, it's a destructive jealousy, and what that means is when you see someone with some ni'mah of some blessing or something that they have, and you don't want them to have it. You're like, why did this person get this thing? Why don't I have it? Not just that, why don't I have it? But why does he have it? Why does she have it? That this person shouldn't, and you want in your heart that person is bereft of that ni'mah, of that blessing. You want it to be going away. The Prophet ﷺ tells in one of the hadith that beware of jealousy. that for verily it destroys good deeds the way fire destroys wood. Just like fire rips through wood and burns through wood, jealousy rips through our good deeds. Now ghibta, on the other hand, this is a healthy type of envy. It's a good type of envy. And what it basically means is you don't want the loss, you don't want that person to lose that ni'mah, or you're not angry at that person that why does that person have this ni'mah, and you want it to remain with that person. But you ask Allah, you say, Ya Allah, I also want that ni'mah. I also want that thing, whatever blessing that is. Okay, without the removal from that person. And the Prophet ﷺ in one of the hadith, it's related that on the day of judgment, لَا يُؤْتَيَنَّ بِرِجَالٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, a group of people will be brought forth. لَيْسُ بِأَنْبِيَاء وَلَا شُهَدَى. So they will not be anbiya, they're not going to be prophets. They're not shuhada, they're not martyrs. But they're going to be brought forth. يَغْبِتُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاء وَالشُهَدَى لِمَنَازِلِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That the prophets and the shuhada, the martyrs, will be looking on to them with awe, basically saying like, mashallah, look, who are these people and what, you know, how did they get this position that they got? And why is it? Because that position, that their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how close they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. يَكُونُونَ عَلَى مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورِ. They'll be sitting on manabir, members of thrones, and members of nur. قَالُوا وَمَنْ هُمْ. The Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى. Who are these people that you're talking about? هُمْ الَّذِينَ يُحَبِّبُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ وَيُحَبِّبُونَ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. They are the ones that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beloved to the people, and they make the people beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba, they said, okay, and the Prophet went and he said, وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ نُصَحَى. These are the people who walk in the earth as people of nasiha, meaning they give good nasiha, they give good nasiha, what's nasiha as? Advice, barakallahu fiqh. They give good advice to the people. So basically the ones who call towards good, giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولُنَا هَذَا يُحَبِّبُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ. So we understand the people who are making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beloved to the people. Meaning that when you speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you speak about the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people start to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we understand that. But how do they make the people beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet ﷺ, he responded by saying, he says, قَالْ يَأْمُرُونَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That they call them towards good. They call them towards righteous actions. وَيَنْهَوْنَهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they stop them and prohibit them from evil actions. Okay, فَإِذَا أَطَاعُوهُمْ. So if those people listen to them, and they listen to their guidance, they listen to their advice, أَحَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Then those people become... Those people become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, this tells us the importance that when we see someone with a blessing that you like, then you should say, MashaAllah, Tawarakallah. It's very important to say that. That's a sign that you're doing ghibta, you're not doing hasad. You're saying, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, may Allah bless this person in that ni'mah. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he goes on to the seventh heaven. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ sees Baytul Ma'mur. And Baytul Ma'mur is the Kaaba, which is the Kaaba of the heavens. and it's above, it's directly above the Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in one of the hadith, this is Imam al-Hakim, rahimahullah, relates his hadith. He says, "Al-Baytu al-Ma'mur fi al-Samaa al-Sabi'ah yadkhuluhu kulla yawmin 70 alf malak." 70,000 angels enter into the Kaaba, meaning around, surrounding the Kaaba of the heavens. 70,000 angels, and they do tawaf, basically, of this Kaaba of the heavens. لا يعودون إليه حتى تقوم الساعة. Those 70,000 angels who did tawaf that day, they're not able, they don't ever get another turn to do tawaf again ever in their life until the day of judgment comes. So you can just imagine how many angels, the number of the angels in the world. Now, one of the things about the seventh heaven, so the Prophet ﷺ sees Baytul Ma'mur, and the Prophet ﷺ sees that Ibrahim ﷺ, he was sitting with his back to the Kaaba, meaning he was leaning on the Kaaba, he was sitting next to the Kaaba of the heavens, Baytul Ma'mur. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says that Musnidan Zahra, meaning ila al-Bayt, he was leaning on the Kaaba. Wa idha huwa yadkhuluhu kulli. Okay, so that's the same thing that 70,000 angels go. So the Prophet ﷺ saw Ibrahim ﷺ leaning on the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ approaches him. Jibreel ﷺ tells him, "Say, this is Ibrahim ﷺ. Go and say salam to him." The Prophet ﷺ says salam to him. And one of the things the Prophet ﷺ does, he describes Ibrahim ﷺ. He says that وَرَأَيْتُ إِبْرَهِيمَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنَا أَشْبَهُ أَشْبَهُ وَلَدِهِ بِهِ. That I am the most of the people who resemble Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself looked the most like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, one of the things that before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam departs from Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam gives a beautiful piece of advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He says, Rasulullah ﷺ in this hadith related by At-Tirmidhi, he says that Ibrahim ﷺ says, "Faqal ya Muhammad, O Muhammad ﷺ, aqri ummatak minni as-salam. Say salam to your ummah from me, meaning convey my salams to your ummah. Wa akhbirhum anna al-jannah tayyibatu turba. Tell them that Jannah is the dirt of Jannah is really good, meaning it's a beautiful dirt. Azbatul ma, and the water is sweet. Wa annaha qi'an, and that it is qi'an, meaning qi'an means there's no, it's empty land. Basically, it's barren land. Wa anna ghirasaha, and to plant and to put trees on that qi'an, that empty land. Wa anna ghirasaha, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Meaning that whenever you say subhanallah, a tree is grown for you in Jannah. When you say alhamdulillah, a tree is grown for you in Jannah. When you say la ilaha illallah, when you say Allahu akbar, that a tree is grown in Jannah for you. So the more we do this adhkar, the more trees are planted for us in Jannah, inshallah. So may Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to increase in that. Another sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is not from Isra and Mi'raj, but I just want to from a reminder for myself and everyone, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches in one of the hadith, he was sitting with the Sahaba in Madinah Munawwara, and he said that reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, will build you a palace in Jannah. Okay, so this is something that we just sit, it'll take you maybe, I would say a minute, 2 minutes, to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, and one palace will be built for you in Jannah. One of the things that we know is in Jannah, when we even, inshallah, the people of Jannah, when we all go to Jannah, one of the regrets that we'll have is that though any moment that we spent not in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to regret that why didn't we fill that with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah, to be of the dhakirin and be of those who build our akhirah as much as possible, the palaces and the trees and the, you know, the anhar, the rivers of Jannah, build that as much as possible, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin. Alhamdulillah.